This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to Jeff Smoke Eater Bliss for a fire that swept through a very pricey neighborhood. Surprisingly, the early in the fire season, we've been warned this, the conditions are very dry. But that didn't lead you to assume that damage would sweep through million-dollar mansions. Jeff, a very good evening to you. You sent me a photograph early on in this fire. Laguna Niguel. Is that Orange County? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. Yes, it is Orange County. It's toward the south part of Orange County, not far from Laguna Beach, which many people know about. But it's a well-known community. It's very hilly for the most part. And in some parts, it's got beautiful mansions. And, of course, in this part, which is called the Coronado Point development, it now has fewer mansions than before. We had 20 of them go up in flames, and another 11 were destroyed in this brush fire, this wildfire that just took off. It looked like it was going to be very small at first. It's burned over 200 acres. We had a press conference just a few minutes ago, and it looks like it's about 15, 20% contained with a few hot spots here and there. We had up to 500, 600 firefighters on the scene, so not a small fire.
So containment, remind everyone how that works. What is success for containment?
Containment is when you actually get your fire lines, all your firefighters around a fire. You know it can't spread out from there. And so what you do is you get your lines around it and you work toward the middle to get it all put out. When you have 100% containment, that's when they really start letting the crews go, let them return to their home stations, their home bases, and people feel a lot more comfortable about the situation. When you're talking about less than 50% containment and you still have the winds of every afternoon to contend with in that part of the world, well, it can get dicey.
Jeff, this is wildfire season beginning. You also are living with a severe drought. Were the drought conditions in Orange County contributing to this, or is there another cause that had independent of the drought?
It absolutely contributed to it. So typically in a fire, you have three things you're looking at. You're looking at heat, fuel, and oxygen or wind. And in this case, we did have the winds from the afternoon, which is when the fire started. They started to really kick up. And you had this source of a fire, which they think may be connected to the electrical system. They're not sure yet. It's still too early. But what really made this go like it did, you know, take off like wildfires, they say, is the fuel bed. We have a large amount of fuel that's been building up over the years, actually decades in some of these canyons, where you have brush that's been growing for 20, 30 or more years since the last fire. And then you have a very dry fuel bed, which means as the drought continues, the moisture comes out of this brush that's in these canyon areas and around these homes, becomes drier, really becomes tinder for the fire, and that's what happened.
So if you can hit a high-end neighborhood, and I'm looking at these photographs and the houses, it resembles an extremely pricey ruin. It's what we're looking at here. You can hit anyone. No one's exempt. Is that to conclude?
That's true. What's very interesting about this neighborhood, all of these houses were built to the latest specifications. They all had fire-safe areas cleared around the homes, and they had very good fire protection service there, not just in terms of the fire department, but also in terms of available water, you know, the hydrants and such. But what happens is when you get the winds going and the fire takes off, embers are carried in the air. And so you have these waves of wind carrying embers above where the firefighters are, beyond where the fire is already established. And it not only lands on roofs, and most of these roofs, by the way, were tile roofs, and that usually helps keep fires from starting. But they get under the eaves of the house, or they get into vents in the attics, and then they'll sit there and smolder for a couple hours, and boom, the fire just ignites right away. And the house becomes, it's like a firebomb. Boom, it just goes up, and these fires just went on through the night where one house after another caught on fire and burned to the ground.
We go from Smoke Eater Bliss. The drought plagues all of the West, third year coming. However, water is a major concern, not only for the drought, the conditions for wildfires, but also for a generation of electricity in the Hoover Dam, Lake Mead part, and Lake Tahoe. We visited Lake Tahoe during the wildfire season because of the damage. Jeff, now we move to Sea Hunt Bliss. You have your diver experiences. There are divers in Lake Tahoe. What are they doing, and are those divers moving to Lake Mead now that the water level is so low?
What's happening in Lake Tahoe is there are always groups that go in there to do cleanups. Certainly there are divers that go there regularly. The water in Tahoe is crystal clear. I mean, down several hundred feet. But what they're doing right now is they're assessing where certain objects lay there, and they're marking them for GPS coordinates. They're also doing, they're taking a look at the plastics in the water. People are very concerned right now about microplastics and plastics that are in our environment. But as they go through Lake Tahoe, they're finding all sorts of treasures, and you can put air quotes around that or not. I mean, sometimes you find things like wedding rings that have been discarded after that quickie Nevada divorce, or money that's lost overboard or what have you, or trash or other things are dumped overboard. They also find wrecked boats and ships that have been lost there. For a long time, there have been a number of wrecks throughout Lake Tahoe that have been favorite places for divers, and many of them you could see right from the surface. But they're going now with these dive teams and marking these locations, not only for navigation, but also for history, you know, for sort of archaeology.
And the bears, now Lake Tahoe, and the bears are watching. Yes, now we move to Lake Mead.
I'm sorry, Lake Mead. Now, Lake Mead, as the water's been receding there, it's getting dangerously low in terms of, you know, hydroelectric power and even be able to supply water to the Southwest states. As the water recedes, they're finding all sorts of interesting things. That gets air quotes. They've already discovered a couple bodies, and that's not a surprise. Let's not forget that Lake Mead is very close to Las Vegas. And I'm not going to say there might be gangsters involved, but, you know, things happen.
Let me slow this down. We had a body in a barrel. Have we had an additional body?
Yes, they've found an additional body. I don't believe it was in a barrel, but they believe they're going to find more. Apparently, they're finding a number of artifacts along the shoreline and in the shallows, and that's leading them to believe there's a lot more there than they ever knew.
Are the divers going to work Mead?
They won't work the same way they were looking at Tahoe. If these are recovery teams or search teams from either the National Park Service or from some police agency, they haven't talked about it openly yet. But everybody believes they'll start diving now that the lake's receded so much that the part that was too deep and too murky to hit, they can now explore in Lake Mead.
There's a mayor election in Los Angeles. I understand the vote is in June, or a vote is in June. We mentioned Mayor Garcetti. He was bound for India as ambassador for the Biden administration. Is he in trouble with that?
He is in trouble. There have been a number of allegations over the years, and I do say years, about a key member of the staff who was alleged to have sexually assaulted or sexually harassed both men and women in L.A. City Hall, area there. And he's no longer a part of the mayor's team. But the allegation was that the mayor knowingly helped cover it up and then went on to lie to Congress in his confirmation hearings. And so Chuck Grassley, who is the ranking Republican on his confirmation committee, had put a hold on his nomination. And then they had a report, an investigation, and they say there's plenty of evidence that shows the mayor, in fact, did know this was going on and didn't do anything about it, but helped cover it up. So it's possible that his nomination is not only stalled, but completely out the window. And if that happens, then Garcetti's future in politics could be in jeopardy.
30 seconds. Rick Caruso, how's he doing?
He's actually doing quite well. He continues to climb in the polls. One of his opponents, Joe Biscino, said, "I'm out of the race. All my supporters should go to him." And it looks like it's going to be Caruso's race to lose. But of course, he's going to have the vote in June, and then it'll go to a runoff in November because nobody's going to get 50% plus one. So that's going to be tougher, but he is going to be going to November. I'm very confident.
Smoke Eater Bliss, Sea Hunt Bliss, and Citizen Bliss reporting Pacific Watch. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.